This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
What do World War I, the Mexican Revolution, and the Titanic all have in common?
People died.
Oh, no, it all went down into the 1910s. And that's what our subject is today.
The Men's Room Top 10! The Men's Room Top 10!
10. Chucklesome phrases from the 1910s. Allow me to demonstrate a few. The party was all the rage until Dorothy showed up with her pug ugly friend Lula. I swear that dame is a real Mrs. Grundy. A real wet blanket. Wouldn't know a good time if it hit her in the face. Now, on the other hand, Trixie over there is a real Sheba. I bet she could turn me six ways from Sunday. But she wouldn't come unstrapped. She told me the bank was closed for the night. What a bunch of malarkey.
Well done.
Thank you, VD. So these are chucklesome slang terms from the 1910s. I will give you guys the slang term. Let's see if you guys know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Anybody know what up to putty means?
Up to putty.
Is that kind of like up to snuff?
Super busy?
Like you're not up to putty? You're not doing good enough?
It says, if you fail to come home with a fresh catch for dinner, you could say that your fishing attempts were up to putty or just upter.
Okay.
Basically, it's an Australian slang for worthless or futile.
Oh, nice.
It's up to putty.
Okay.
Saltash luck.
Bad luck.
I'm probably saying that wrong. Any thankless or fruitless tasks that involves getting wet.
Okay. All right.
All righty. I like it.
Like, what, like washing dishes and you get something on your shirt?
Washing your horse. Doing something in the rain.
Sat by the ferry for hours and caught nothing but colds. Oh, going into fishing. A lot of fishing terms, apparently. Monkey parade.
Idiots.
But yeah, goofy idiots.
During the late Victorian era, the single ewes of London's East End took to strolling up and down the Bow Road in droves to mix and mingle with each other, prompting people to nickname the road Monkey's Parade.
Oh, maybe that's why they get those little shiner hats, you know?
By the early 20th century, the custom had caught on in other neighborhoods, and people had started calling any such gathering a Monkey Parade. And then British writer Edwin Pugh described the Monkey Parade in colorful detail in his 1914 story collection, The Cockney at Home. It's a place where the elite of the beau monde of suburbia meet nightly for purposes of flirtation.
Purposes of flirtation. Boy, you made that sexy.
Didn't they, though?
Purposes of flirtation.
Criminy. How about Meller? Again, these are slang terms from the 1910s. Meller. M-E-L-L-E-R. 19th century Americans were fond of calling melodrama, Mellerdrama.
Mellerdrama. Okay.
Mellerdrama, which eventually got shortened to Meller.
Okay.
There you go.
Meller.
Lunker.
Dummy.
In today's meme speak, any animal that exceeds expectations when it comes to size, be it a bunny or a human baby, might be called an absolute unit. It's also a lunker.
Lunker.
All right. Big guy. Oh, he's a lunker.
Look at this guy.
I believe we've all heard of this one. The Life of Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know what The Life of Riley actually means?
No.
How would you say it even in a sentence?
Living the Life of Riley. Okay. Someone leading an untroubled, happy life in the early 20th century was said to be living the life of Riley.
Okay.
Though the surname's popularity makes it hard to pinpoint which Riley or Riley, spelled differently, inspired the expression, there are theories. One is that it came from a song written in the 1880s by an Irish vaudevillian that's called "Is That Mr. Riley?" In the chorus, people greet Mr. Riley, a self-proclaimed man of renown.
All right.
Yeah. So it's just you're living large. You're living good. You're living
all
life
right.
of Riley.
The life of Riley.
Anybody heard the slang term Jake?
No.
In the 19th century, a Jake was a rustic lout or simpleton, per the OED. But by the 1910s, people had started to use the term as an adjective meaning excellent, admirable, fine. Australians and New Zealanders favored slightly jazzier spinoffs. Jake-a-loo, Jake-a-loo, and Jake-er-loo. A lot of loos in there.
Yeah. Loo makes any word funnier.
Imshi.
Imshi?
Imshi. It's derived from Arabic for go away.
Damn.
All right.
That's basically just what Imshi. They would shout to get you out of there.
Wow.
Imshi. Is that hip or hype? H-I-P-E. During World War I, it wasn't uncommon for a soldier to call their rifle or gun a hype. Hip. It's been suggested that the term started out as an unspecific utterance that military leaders shouted in place of the word arms during commands.
Okay. Hype!
Oh, you know what? I like it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about a flivver? Anybody ever heard of a flivver? Slang term from the 1910s.
I like it.
It was used both as a noun and described a cheap car or plane and a verb that described going somewhere in a flivver. But it could also be more broadly referred to any failure, be it a thing or a person. Pretty versatile for a term whose provenance is a mystery. Hmm. Basically anything that just, it sucks. It's okay. A junker. It's a POS.
I mean, you could use the same term. I mean, there's got to be terms we use for cars when something bad happens, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, your car can get into a wreck. If you do bad at work, you'd be like, oh, today was a train wreck.
How about a conchy? If someone's a conchy.
Sexy.
It's often derisive. It's an abbreviation for conscientious objector.
Ah, okay.
Popular in the UK during World War I, it was later used in reference to men who refused to serve in World War II as well, a conchy.
Conchy.
A conchy.
Can't imagine that was used favorably.
Not one that you would want to be called for sure. How about chucklesome?
Chucklesome. Funny.
It's extremely chucklesome that a bunch of people in Poland once mistook a croissant in a tree for a terrifying beast.
All right. That's what they say there. So it's just like, it's super funny.
Right. It's chucklesome.
I like that. It's extremely chucklesome.
It's very chucklesome. Again, chucklesome slang turns from the 1910s. Bosher.
Bosher.
Bosher. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, this novel popularized the word bosh from the Turkish for empty, worthless, among English speakers. Victorians used it as a noun or interjection meaning nonsense. Bosher, which came along later, described a person who talked bosh.
Okay. Makes sense.
Talks a bunch of bosh. About a beezer.
A beezer?
Beezer. In the 1910s.
Like an old person?
Beezer could either refer to an intelligent person or a nose.
Oh.
Look at his beezer.
Origins of both senses are unclear, but the former is believed to hail from Scotland. How about a beanball?
Is somebody fat?
This was used in sports. A beanball.
Baseball?
It was a pitch chucked straight at the batter's head.
Oh.
Oh, right, because you're going to bean
right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we always use that, too. It was like, if you bean somebody, you're going to throw at their head. If you plunk them, you hit them somewhere on the body.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Beaning them. Annie Oakley.
Good shot.
And Annie Oakley was a free ticket to a performance or sporting event. According to the famous sharpshooter herself, the phrase was coined by baseball player Ben Johnson. A man was brought to him one day, she recounted in a 1922 newspaper interview, who had rented out his baseball pass. Ben Johnson looked at it, filled it with neat holes, and suggested that the man had been letting me use it for a target.
Huh.
And Annie Oakley.
Okay.
And then this is the final chugglesome slang term from the 1910s. Do you guys know what an againster is?
Somebody who's just against everything.
You're a voice of opposition. You're absolutely right, Ted Smith.
Devil's advocate.
They're a hater.
A contrarian.
A contrarian. Yeah. That is exactly right. An againster. That's just a lame... That's lazy.
That
you're,
is lame.
You're an againster, sir.
Come up with a better word.
Yeah, it'd be indeed. Better if you're lame by a woman. You say I'm against her.
I'm against her. Well, that's where I like to be on a Friday
night. What'd you do
night.
Last night?
I was against her.
I was against her.